Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, according to the World Economic Forum, gender parity has a fundamental bearing on whether or not economies and societies thrive. Developing and deploying one half of the world's available talent has a huge bearing on the growth, competitiveness, future readiness of economies and businesses worldwide. But also, according to their Global Gender Gap 2020 report, none of us will see gender parity in our lifetimes. Apparently won't be attained for another century, or 99 and a half years to be exact. For her perspective in the run-up to International Women's Day, we speak today to Deborah Ho, Country Head Singapore and Regional Head of Southeast Asia at BlackRock. Deborah, thanks for your time.
Hi, Howie. Great to be here.
Do you think, though, Deborah, that diversity and inclusion has taken a back seat thanks to the pandemic? I mean, many are scrambling for jobs now, and it's an employer's market now, isn't it?
You know, Howie, COVID-19 really sent a stark reminder to global leaders by revealing the fragilities of the global economy. I mean, more importantly, it acted as a wake-up call to address other existential threats the world is facing in terms of sustainability. And issues that are most pronounced are with respect to the environment and the corporate sector. And so since D&I is one of the main pillars of any company's roadmap for corporate sustainability, you know, it's hard to argue that it has taken a back seat. It's already well researched and proven that organizations with more diverse workforces and leadership teams perform better. But, you know, it is also hard to ignore, you know, what's reported in the news headlines and how the pandemic has affected women and minority groups more than, you know, it did for others. You know, in the sense that, you know, women generally have a greater burden of home and caregiving responsibilities during the crisis. Mm. This sometimes pulls them away from work, negatively affects their career. So given this situation, I mean, companies should recognize the importance of not de-emphasizing D&I initiatives, especially in this era, because they are also being scrutinized on how they contribute or harm the societies they operate in.
So now would be a good time to put diversity and inclusion front and center, or not?
Yeah.
Some companies are scrambling to just stay afloat.
You know, I think that it is really important, you know, to do that right now. Mm. You know, and the reason is because, I mean, really, it's what differentiates, you know, companies that will, you know, outperform in the long run. And aside from the many challenges that COVID-19 has created, I do believe that it offers these companies an opportunity to reset the norms, for example, for how, you know, employees work. And thus, this could generate faster D&I progress. I mean, remote working has been some of the biggest adjustments for many organizations. I do foresee that, you know, it's going to remain in some shape or form, even after the pandemic is over. But, you know, having said that, though, there are some companies where the traditional culture has been very much, you know, FaceTime. But I think that all these issues, you know, need to be addressed, you know, simply because, you know, times have changed. And in addition to that, I mean, the rampant use of technology now in the workplace, it allows companies to use new methods of engagement to connect employees. And so I really think, given that these changes have happened in the world, this actually is a good time to do that.
Before we get to where gender equality here is in Singapore, this new hybrid work arrangement, it's gone to being a great equalizer for women, but it's also not, say, the great panacea that it's been made out to be.
No, it hasn't. I think that, in fact, you know, studies, you know, recently studies have shown that women, you know, bear the brunt of some of the, whether it's layoffs or furloughs that have occurred, you know, around the world. Hmm. I mean, even with the use of technology, it means that you really have to be on, you know, all the time, right? You know, and as we know, women have lots of other responsibilities, you know, over and above, you know, what you do at work. So it really doesn't matter whether you have children, you know, or you don't have children. But these are some of the other demands that are put on women. And in a way, it's almost like women have to feel that they are on all the time. And as a result, it can be extremely stressful.
So back to that question, gender equality here in Singapore, have you seen it progress some? Is it any different from other regions that you've worked in, Deborah?
So I've been, you know, around for a long time, right? I mean, But I have to say that there has been some progress, right? I mean, there has been progress observed, given how women have become better represented in politics, as well as in senior management positions in the private sector. However, it's also clearly uneven since cultural, social, and structural hurdles for women remain, and these continue to operate, in these difficult circumstances that we've had, before, particularly last year. And in 2018, in fact, McKinsey calculated and published a country's gender parity score, GPS, using 15 indicators of gender equality at work and in society. Singapore has a GPS of 0.68 on gender equality in work, which is well above the APAC average of 0.44. But, obviously, it's not the highest. This research also showed that the percentage of roles held by women steadily decreases at every seniority level. Men and women enter the workforce at relatively the same levels, but between entry level and the C-suite, the percentage of female employees more than halves, while male representation, jumps by 27%. I mean, what really worries me, Howie, is that last year, because of the pandemic, in fact, although we're talking about, recovery, vaccinations, the number of women who basically said that they were thinking of off-ramping or slowing down, in their careers has actually been higher. And this was as a result of some of the stress, that I've talked about, especially from last year. And I think that this is really worrying, whether it's Singapore or other parts of the world. Companies have worked very, very hard to get senior representation of women up. And this really will hurt us, in the long run, if we don't do anything to address it.
We're speaking with Deborah Ho, who's Country Head Singapore and Regional Head of Southeast Asia at BlackRock. So what do you think then, your journey? What's it been like as you navigate the patriarchy, so to speak? What has helped you?
I guess a couple of things, right? Firstly, I've always been generally fearless. And it all started, I think, because, I was raised in a household that I would say quite female dominated. So my nanny in those days, where Singapore had those, Samfu nannies who
Ah, the
basically
Afar types.
that the Amar types, and really I think that those were the early days of the feminist movement because, my Amar Adipje, her whole thing was to make money, to send it back to China, to basically take care of her family who had lost their entire family wealth through a silkworm blight. Right.
Oh,
So when
okay.
she raised my brother and I, and my sister later when she came along, it was always about financial independence, even before the word was crafted. It was about self-reliance. And therefore, I think, from an early age, I actually didn't see any boundaries or any barriers. There are pluses and minuses to that, Howie, as you can imagine, right? I mean, when you don't see barriers or boundaries, you fall flat on your face. But as I grew in my career, I realized that there were people who helped me along the way, both men and women. And therefore, I think that, at this point in time, for me, it is really imperative that I have to do all I can to help the women who are going to come after me. It hasn't been easy, really, but there were other factors apart from gender factors. There are cultural factors as well, depending on, the kind of career that you choose. And for me, I realized that I just didn't like a lot of ambiguity. And that's why, I chose to be in, I guess, in earlier my career, sales and trading in investment banking, because really the numbers don't lie. And if you're in roles that have more ambiguity, then I think that there's more of a discussion, if you know what I mean.
But at the risk of oversimplification, the advice you might give to women today in order to challenge those gender stereotypes is to just not notice, because there is an argument that says
No.
if you look for
Yeah.
daggers in the dark, you will find
Yeah.
them. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy if you go in expecting the worst of others.
I think that's a really good point, Howie, in the sense that now when the world is more aware, if I talk to my younger colleagues, I mean, they're definitely more savvy and more aware than I ever was. But it also means that the rest of the world is more aware. And at the same time, we have to just be conscious, and sensitive to these things. But at the same time, understand that it's a journey for everybody. And sometimes, whether it's unconscious bias training, being aware of microaggressions, is something that I think that we all have to bear in mind. But really, I think that the importance of taking a chance sometimes, being courageous, and understand that sometimes when you have causes that are worth fighting for, some pain might be involved.
So we need to get more men involved, you think, in gender equality. You mentioned some of your mentors were men as well. It's important to get men more aware. They might be, through no fault of their own or not, unaware that this is happening to women.
You are absolutely right, because I think that we are all conditioned in the environment that we live in. We're all also conditioned by the kind of, you know, information and news that we read. The truth is that men are just not like a thing, and they're not like this thing on an island, all right? Men have mothers, right? I mean, they've got women in their lives that they love and care about, daughters, they've got sisters. And so I think that the commitment to allyship, so although most men notionally support more gender inclusion and equity, the truth is that they are often challenged at recognizing gender discrimination and harassment in real time. There are ways to build their awareness, you know, of women's experiences and gender inequalities in the workplace. So for instance, you have to pay attention to who is included in a meeting. You know, understand that, you know, women generally are talked over, you know, so go out of your way to make sure that, you know, you do invite the female participant in your group to speak. Very often in companies, the woman is in the minority. Second thing is be attuned to sexist comments, biased language, and even overt, you know, leering kind of harassment. You know, at the same time, you know, for women, we also have to really be aware of, you know, what is said and, you know, make a decision in your mind. I mean, how serious is this? And simply, I think that, you know, we just have to ask. We've got to ask, you know, our brothers to please, you know, lend a hand and at the same time offer advice when needed. I've got three sons, you know, Howie, and I really would love them to grow up in a world understanding that everybody has a place. Male, female, any color of the rainbow, any spectrum, because we're all put on earth for a reason, right? In fact, there's one more point I'd like to add, Howie, if I may. One of the things that we've done at BlackRock is, you know, we have a male allies program that is part of our women's initiative. These are run by our male colleagues, you know, in partnership with the Women's Initiative Group. And the main objective of it is to really build awareness amongst our male colleagues, be able to provide, you know, a source of advice and input if people have questions about, you know, certain issues around bringing the best out of their female colleagues and vice versa. You know, and the last thing would be to, I guess, build, you know, much more of an awareness, you know, such that everyone will be able to act in a way that brings the best out of everybody.
Deborah, thanks for your insights and joining us today. Stay safe.
Thank you, Howie. Have a good one.
Deborah Ho, Country Head Singapore and Regional Head of Southeast Asia at BlackRock. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.